Krakakow! That was the sound of bat wings. Because it's Halloween! Oh, I thought Alex had some like spooky Halloween noises, but he didn't. You know why? Because he's scared silent.
I didn't know if that was you fucking around or that was supposed to be the fucking intro. Like, what the fuck was that?
It was a spooky Patreon October bonus Halloween. I've used all of my bullshit Halloween intros during Best Boys. Because he did Best Boys Blitz because I did not have time to do an actual episode because fuck working as a medical scribe is too much. Too much study, not enough time. But you know what I do got time for? Questions of the month. Pew, 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 pew. That was just me shooting finger guns. It didn't like have any Halloween connotations or anything.
Okay.
So let's open it up here. I just reached for like papers to tap on the thing, forgetting that, no, it's on the screen. I don't know why I did that. Anyway.
It's your job as a medical scribe. It's bleeding into your real life now.
So, first question here from Stupid Geeks. Who would win in a fight between Tad and Alex's waifus? Now, in the Let Me Tell You About Deepest Lore, technically, Kampa is the only one that I've let people know about. So my champion that I've put in this Thunderdome is Kampa. And it's versus, the shitty snake person from Senran Kagura or whatever?
Yes, and she'll fucking die. Kampa, I mean. She's a stupid little healer with a fucking syringe. Hikage's an evil snake lady with a bunch of knives. She's fucking... Kampa's fucking deleted.
Okay, but consider this. I can cheat. Because there's nothing in this question about me just having a loaded gun. So how do you combat this, Alex? Fuck, he's right.
No. My waifu's a ninja. She can catch the fucking bullets and shit. In fact, some of the ninjas fight with guns, and they obviously can't kill her. But meanwhile, Kampa, imagine if I just brought a gun. Poor little Kampa's gonna get fucking blasted.
This is gonna end up like, when there's that shitty kid and you first learn how to play Yu-Gi-Oh, you're like, I play this card. Okay, well, because I'm the host, I get to search through my deck and play this card for free.
Oh no, he's gonna be that asshole kid who's like, I'm gonna play a fusion monster without having the polymerization card.
See, now here's the thing about fusion monsters. I think you can do that. I don't actually know the rules of Yu-Gi-Oh at all.
No, for standard rules, you need to have the two cards and polymerization, and then you can summon the thing. It's like a combo. You might be thinking, wow, that's really fucking stupid. Yeah, it is.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Wasn't a good game.
No, but it's really popular.
Now, Magic, that's a game for men.
You should play Hearthstone, the game that's so riddled with RNG, it just exists to be untrolled in.
Maybe you should play fucking Gwent with me, so I have anyone to play it with.
Fuck that. I got Hearthstone.
So our next question here is from Jose C. Now you see, Jose, as a goofy and ridiculous as... Oh god, that's fucked up. As goofy and ridiculous as creepypastas are, has there ever been one that genuinely gave you the spoops? For me, I fell for the whole Ben drowned thing, up until the guy behind it revealed it as just one big jape. Let's see.
I've never really fallen for any creepypastas because it's just some idiots telling stories. Who cares? But I've always found them relatively interesting. Like, back when the Slenderman craze was going on, I thought he looked cool. He had a cool design. And there's this one like fan art of him like giving like a flower to like a little girl. Like that looks pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool, I guess. But I didn't really follow anything. It's like shitty stories my stepdad told me when I was a kid to fucking spook me at night because he was an asshole. Like, whatever, been there, done that.
when I was really little, my mom won a contest to be in a documentary about single mothers. And I shit you not, when they were because they were just filming us for like 3 days and getting footage. My mom would read us bedtime stories, but she would read us like ghost stories. She would just, because I would just give her a book like, hey, read this one. And it was just like top 15 spookiest ghost stories. And she would just read those to us as we went to bed, because that was the only time she ever read me a book when I was going to bed, because she was on camera. But for spooky, kooky, creepy pasta, there was one time, I think we mentioned it in a previous podcast, we were like 13, and for some reason we were like sitting in your living room reading like some shitty Animal Crossing like creepypasta fan fiction thing.
Oh, that thing? That's what you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, what the fuck? Why did we do that?
Well, I can tell you why. You wanted to.
That's true. I think I did. I don't remember why I wanted to.
I vaguely recall, because I remember 90% of everything that pisses me off. So, I can't remember, I could barely remember my street address as a kid, but I can remember that guy fucking looked at me wrong in the hallway. So. I'm sitting there, minding my own business, as usual, and Ted's like, oh, dude, you gotta see this thing I just found. I'm like,
no, you gotta do it the proper way. Burr, 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 burr.
Yeah, Ted's fat ass walks over. Burr, 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 burr. Oh, man, you're never gonna believe it. I found this amazing thing you gotta read. Because it was in, like, a comic form, if you don't remember. Because I remember that part. He did, like, pictures for it and shit. Like, you gotta read this fucking Animal Crossing thing. I'm like, but I don't care. And you're like, no, dude, come on, don't be an asshole. Look at this shit. Which you're gonna hear a lot, by the way, with our stories. Of I don't care, but Ted really does. And then we read it, and it was really bad, and I don't remember a single thing about it. Other than, it was wasting my time.
I do remember the Ben Drown thing. Just because I saw the end video that you did for April Fools, where it was like at King Kong in the trunk. That's the only thing I remember. I only remember we got King Kong in the trunk.
Creepypastas are pretty fucking lame, kids. Don't fucking read that bullshit.
Oh, and the Godzilla one that ended with, like, 1989, still the best, and Godzilla giving, like, finger guns at the screen or something. That's all I know about Creepypasta. So, next question here from Lowther. Do you guys play any board games? And if so, what would be a good choice to check out? P.S. Watch Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast. I swear I didn't add that last bit on there.
Okay, whatever. But I'll make this one quick so you can get into whatever you play. Because I know you have a long answer. I'm not a nerd, so I don't play any board games. I play video games. The end. Now to you, Tad.
Well, okay. So I'm going to exclude role-playing games, because that's an entirely different fucking genre there. I would recommend a role-playing game, but that requires a lot of work and a lot of commitment, and you have to play with the right people, because otherwise you're not going to have any goddamn fun at all.
You're going to have those guys, like we just mentioned, those kids making up bullshit rules on the spot so they can win.
It's not even that. In a role-playing game, there's so many shitty, shitty people. You gotta watch out for your creepy Daves. You gotta watch out for your edgelords. You gotta watch out for just people who are bad at the game and drag everything down with them. But for board games, let's see. There was one that I played when I was young. I always played all the time. It wasn't Mousetrap.
I actually remember one.
What was it?
Okay. Well, obviously, when I was a kid, we played board games with the family. I figured he meant, like, more, like, big deal shit, because I remembered one now. When I was a kid, before, like, two houses before I ran into you. So years upon years ago. Like, so long ago, Mega Man, like, Battle Network, you know, with their, like, the virtual reality ones and shit, with all the redesigns, that was, like, on TV still. That's how long ago. So, like, 2005 or 6 or some shit. I had my friend who was super duper into Warhammer 40K. And a bunch of my kids at my school actually loved that shit. They would bring the fucking little statues and play, like, little matches on, like, the fucking lunch table and shit. I was like, the hell is this stuff? Like, oh yeah, it's you know, Warhammer 40K. Oh, dude, there's all these fucking factions. You gotta get a codex, dude. I'm like, the fuck's a codex? So I go to this fucking hobby shop. I don't even know why. I go to this hobby shop and I get the Tyranid codex. And a couple little Tyranid guys. The Tyranid were the aliens that had, like, no armor, so you always had to roll 5 or 6 for defensive checks so they would live. Because you're basically supposed to just swarm the fucking guys and kill people, right? Because they're just little aliens. But yeah, so I didn't play it much. I just played it, like, a little bit with my friends, but, like, I had a Tyranid codex to answer this guy's question.
I technically have a Tyranid codex, a Chaos Space Marines codex, a Necron codex, and I bought one box of Warhammer 40K, and I never did it again because it was incredibly expensive and not very fun to play.
Yeah, I don't like painting my own shit because I was a kid. I'd rather buy pre-painted ones if that was at all possible. The Necrons are cool. The Tyranids are cool. And I fucking love, I only learned this one years later, that the orcs have that color rule, where it's like, because the orcs are retarded, but they're super duper crazy psychic powers. So like, whatever they think happens, so they paint things different colors and they perceive it, like say like if it's yellow, it'll move faster. So if they paint their like car units yellow, they get to move additional units. It's they have a special rule for that. I love that whole thing.
I don't know if that's still in effect now. They release new codexes like every fucking year.
Yeah,
it's a fucking pyramid scheme.
So hey, if there's any Warhammer fans, please let us know if that color rule is still a thing, because if it is, it's fucking awesome.
But best board game I've played recently, my brother got something at PAX West called God Hates Charades, and I got to, it's where you have a handful of character cards and a handful of scene cards, and I got to, in front of my brother, his fiance, and my mother, pretend to be JFK playing Harry Potter in a weird S&M sex type thing.
What?
Lingardium Leviosa and hit my ass. It's pretty great. It's a fun board game.
Ew.
Anyway, Alex, I think you would enjoy it. You can't buy it. I don't think that's even out yet, officially. He got like a prototype or something at PAX. So, all right, next question here is from Jonah. As a fellow ex-gas station worker, and in the spirit of Halloween, what is your scariest moment working at a gas station? And then I'll extend this to you as well, Alex, if you think of any real spooky moments at your job that you used to have years and years and years ago.
It was a few months ago.
So the scariest thing that ever happened at my job, they keep the records, all of the receipts that they have, and important paperwork, and they have it in a little box above the cooler. And what this box is it's about, it's big enough to hide a body in, and to go up there, you have to take a 12-foot ladder and put it next to a door that people swing open violently when they go into the cooler. And so I had to set that up there and carry a 75-pound box of paper up there, stretch way, way, way over on a ladder that only had three good sides because the other one would wibble wobble, and stand like on the almost the top rung, which you're not supposed to do, to get these fucking things in there. And that was pretty fun, because if anyone touched that thing, I would have fallen and died, which is like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But that job had a lot of spooky stuff. Anytime I was working at night, trucks would just fly past me at 70 miles an hour. Like, if I wasn't paying attention, they probably would have killed me. So that was pretty cool. Working at a truck stop sucked.
For me, the scariest part about working at Walmart was clocking in to your job at Walmart. Haha. That was real funny. Yeah, it got you, didn't it? There isn't anything particularly scary that happened for me at Walmart, other than, like, I don't know, the time we found a Black Widow near the fucking janitor closet. That shit's poisonous. I was like, oh, shit. So we put it in a little cup and just threw it out in the fucking backyard. The back, like, area. That's about it. Like, yay, woo, there was a deadly spider in my fucking workplace once. It's Walmart, man. Nothing really happens.
At the gas station job, I remember being a mouse Grim Reaper. We had an issue where mice would be stuck under the shed. And so to get rid of it, we would just place like five or six traps outside all the time. And I would go there, and one of two things I would find in there. One, it would be a dumbass fucking bird who went down on it and tried to peck the peanut butter and got its stupid ass head snapped. Or it would be a mouse that got hit so hard it spun itself around the fucking trap three times. I did that for a summer. I would see one of them, I would put on three pairs of gloves and then just like uncoil this mouse. Also, one time I emptied a garbage can after no one had done it for literally 2 years. And there were two rats in there that had, because it was so acidic in the garbage, they were hairless and their stomachs ripped open. And all I could see, literally the first thing I thought was, dude, that's metal as fuck. You have to make do with a job like that. On my third day on the job, someone, and any normal person would have just quit the job right here. Third day of the job. I know I told you this, Alex. You probably forgot about it, though. Third day on the job. I go into the bathroom and there is shit. Okay, all right. Have you ever seen Dumb and Dumber?
Yes.
Do you remember the scene where he's in the bathroom and he has the Hershey bar in his pocket? He sits on the radiator.
And he just smears it all over everywhere.
There was literally shit on every single part of that bathroom. And the first thing I did was I took out my shitty flip phone. And I took a picture of it and sent it to my mom and said, "The working life, 9-to-5 stiffs like you and me." And the only reason I got through it was because I thought it was so goddamn funny to have this happen on my third day on the job. But those are some good old work stories. I recorded an episode with Michael that will probably happen. I got it done. I'll probably just get it done, like edited at some point where we talk about more shitty work stories. But let's go on to the next question here from Hayden. You have to make a game. You have to make a game. You have infinite budget, the best team imaginable, but it can't be related to any other existing games, so it has to be a completely unique idea. What is your unique idea for a game?
Okay, first off, I like the idea of you have to make a game. Like, you wake up and you get a phone call, it's like, there's a bomb that's been surgically implanted into your brain, and it'll detonate 3 days unless you make the perfect video game idea and pitch it to fucking X company right now. And you're like, oh shit, how am I gonna get out of this one?
So what I would do is
you go first.
I would take that. I'm going to steal your idea, Alex. I'm going to I'm going to make a game in which the player is given all the tools to make any game that they want. And then you go in there incredibly easily, implementable tools. You can go in as deep as you want. You can go in and just be as shallow as you want. You won't lose too much complexity in your games as long as you do the work and you put in the effort. Think Little Big Planet, but
hey, it's way more in-depth. It's some game. You can't do that.
Little Big Planet, you can only make platformers in Little Big Planet. This one, in my Magic game, you can make anything. It's Spore the video game.
Okay, that wasn't my idea. Where the hell did you get that from?
No, where you just came up with, like, you got it. I'm sorry. The plot of my game is someone implanted a bomb into your brain, and you have to make this game. That's the plot that you go into. You can also just fuck off and not do that and just play your life as like a normal dude. Just like, whoop, 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 and then your head explodes. 3 days,
then you die.
It's like Burnout, where, you know, in Burnout, you explode your car. And to get as much points, you do that except with your head exploding. And you can press right trigger and your head explodes again.
Yeah, it's a drive away. So if I had to make a game that would be entirely unique, how about... Now... It can still be a genre, right? I'm not going to invent a whole genre. It just can't be compared to something else, right?
I mean, if you want.
I'm just saying, like, just like that's something, like, you can't invent a fucking video game genre at this day and age. It's impossible. They've all been kind of settled out. I would make a... Damn it, Nintendo just made that game in the E3. I was going to say a rhythm-based battle game with cooking involved, but they literally just made that with that fucking Japanese game where you make, like, sushi and shit. Completely original idea for a video game. Let's see. How about a game? Okay, now that the sports manager games, what about a game where you're a game designer and you have to specifically micromanage? You have to take Jeff Kaplan's job, but in a video game format. You have to be the PR person for a video game company.
Oh, that could actually be really fun, because you'll have your developers do dumb shit, and then you have to be like, removing this ability that everyone, removing the movement speed in Tribes Ascend is a good thing. Putting a limit on that was a good idea, and here's why.
Yeah. Like, you will just, it's kind of like how Paper Please, how you're sitting there and, like, you'll have just, like, people, citizens come up and back check, like, each one of their things correctly, and you're given payment based on how fast and efficient you do it, right? So, you're sitting there, like, on your little, like, virtual computer, and then you'll just see, like shocking news for, you know, X game company, game developer accidentally removes favorite bug, fans rioting, and then you have to, like, manually log into the forums and then type up a huge speech about why this is okay and everyone needs to calm down.
I can see just going into the different forum topics, like backing out of it, going to the bottom, and there's, like, the game discussion, and there's, like, some stupid idiot troll that you gotta ban and shit.
Yes.
You get a gamer clan that raids your forums and shit.
Yes. You will have all these different scenarios pop in, and you are given points or payment, like, in, say, Papers, Please, by how quick and efficient you do it. You can only generate so many of these problems, but it's how fast you solve them is how you're scored. Boom, there's your original game idea. Sign me up.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It sounds a lot like This Is the Police.
Jeff Kaplan, the video game.
Okay, now this is a very good question from Various. Is there ever an instance in which skeletons aren't funny? Now, no bones about it. Skeletons are pretty humorous.
Hilarious. See, the thing is that, like, skeletons have been kind of ruined. And, like, okay, ever since the very first cartoon, like, decades upon, almost a solon century ago, the very first guy who made a skeleton clank his bones together and make a xylophone sound removed any scary element that skeletons ever could have had. Because all I see, even when I see that one, like, gift that's posted on the internet, or, like, this movie where a guy's skeleton comes alive within him and rips out of his body, all I can hear is the xylophone sound of when it starts, like, laughing and clinking its teeth together. Yeah, I'm like, if skeletons were ever scary, it was before that point. But after that, it's impossible to take them seriously. Even now, because all I think about are stupid, like, gifs of, like, skeletons running or playing the fucking trumpet and shit. People have just made them less and less scary over time. They're just a meme at this point.
I think part of that also comes from the fact that skeletons really aren't. It was the go-to, spooky thing. But then when you actually look at it, it's like, no, it's just a skeleton. What's it gonna do to you?
It has no muscles. What's it gonna do?
It's gonna be real spooky, I guess, but this is what it is. Skeletons, never an instance in which they aren't funny, unless you were in the, what's that movie? It's not Jason and the Argonauts. Maybe it is. It was the one with the claymation enemies.
Skull Monkeys?
No. It wasn't a game. It was a movie.
Oh.
It was a movie. It was like, it had a clockwork owl. It was from the 80s. There was the Gorgon. Fuck. I can't remember the name of it, but the skeletons in that were actually kind of scary because they were claymation and they were dark and red. So those were the only time which I didn't look at them and think, oh, those are kind of wacky. It was like, well, hey, those are actually kind of intimidating enemies. That's the only time in my life I've ever seen a skeleton not go, a burner, and just do the skull trumpet internally. So next question here. This one's for Alex. This is from Tidy Whitey.
Oh, great.
Alex, have you ever seen either of the American Kamen Rider adaptations, Masked Rider and Dragon Knight?
Okay. No, but I've seen one scene from, which I think was, the Masked Rider one was a dub of Kabuto, which I have seen Kabuto, the Japanese version, you know, the original. I've seen one of the scenes from the dub of that, and it was just, it was from a fucking, like, shitty YouTube poop. And I only remember this one joke from it. It was just, so, there was, like, this evil guy sitting in a chair. You didn't see him, like, he was, you know, the villain. You just saw, like, the back of the chair, and his, like, minion came up and, like, looked, and, like, you know, bowed down and, like, talked to him. And he's like, so, associate. Do you like owls? Yes. Me too. And then the scene just cuts. Obviously that was edited to fuck around, but, like, I thought it was really funny. Oh, no, sorry. And I know the one shitty part of it, like, I will defeat you, worms! All of you! That people always post. But it's really bad, and I'm basing that off of two whole scenes. I saw the original, which is way better. I'm going to judge this show based on the like 10 entire seconds I've seen of it. But fuck that. And no, I haven't seen Dragon Knight, which I think was entirely American made because it had white people in it. So I'm pretty sure it was. No. I'm going to pull that little bit of racism right here. Do you have any idea how weird it is to watch like this Japanese show full of all Japanese people and then just have like one white guy actor show up? He's so weird looking compared to everyone else. It's so weird. But like, so having the entire thing, an entire camera show be all just white people, it honestly feels a little gross. Like, this isn't right. It's incorrect.
That so, yeah, show is incorrect. So, our next question here, this is an important one. This is from Pigeon Master. Do you think robot GFs will ever be real? And if so, would you ever have one?
Oh, well, that's easy.
This can kind of boil down to buying robo GF.
Okay. So, Yes. I hope they become a thing, and yes, I will buy one immediately.
That's like where the Patreon money will go, baby.
Yeah, baby. But, I mean, hey, you already know me. I wanted Sexy Made Arisa, so obviously I'm going to say yes to this question. I'm that guy. But what about you, Tad?
No, this is actually kind of an interesting question, because at a certain point, and I really hope this happens in my lifetime, when we hit the singularity, when technology starts going way, starts progressing faster than normal human scientific evolution and shit, to the point where it's like, oh, fuck. Fucking slot that data jack in my goddamn cerebral cortex. I'm fucking jacking into the Matrix.
Oh, I'm jacking fucking, it.
Yeah, fucking slot me in a Homestuck data sim and plug me into the corner. I'm out of here. Like, I really hope we hit that point. And then it's like, yeah, whatever. Who gives a fuck? Robot GFs, robot BFs, selling GF, selling robot GF. We hit that point where it doesn't fucking matter anymore. Who gives a shit? That'll be fun. I hope that happens. If we hit that point, then everyone will have a robot GF. And that's the America that I want to live in.
All right, next question, I guess.
And this question is also somewhat similar. This is from Brad. What weapon would you use in the zombie apocalypse? Now, for me, there was a book I read in high school called The Zombie Apocalypse Survival Guide. And that book said that the most efficient weapon for killing a zombie was some kind of Buddhist, like, spear that was specifically designed to decapitate people. It had a crescent moon shape on it. You just stab in at someone or you swipe at them sideways. Just whoop, really easy to decapitate them.
We're
That's the ultimate zombie weapon.
Fucking Walmart superstore.
No, but you do have shitty guns at Walmart.
Sure, we do.
What would you use? What would be your... if you had the ability to get any weapon in the apocalypse?
Okay, so I've actually been thinking about this, because a lot of my dreams, I think I've ever mentioned most of them, are weird zombie apocalypse dreams. So I've had a lot of time to think. And I also read that guide, and I already know the one rule, which is a gun requires ammunition, but a melee weapon does not. So I would use one of the big, like, really long-ass, like, fire axes that you can go buy in, like, say, like, the garden section of, like, any fucking, like, store that sells, like, tools and shit. Just a nice, sharp, sturdy-ass, like, big fire axe for chopping shit. Because I don't need to fucking repair that. I can just sharpen it still. Boom.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty solid answer. Yeah, going to that Walmart is probably going to be a fuckhouse. It's probably going to be full of people and dumb people who got bit.
That's why I'm going to, like, buy a fire axe in advance, just in case. I mean, what, you don't already have a fire axe ready for the zombie apocalypse?
No, but I do have a hammer, and I do have, legitimately, this is really true, a Build-A-Bear Workshop Shrek doll sitting above my mantle.
Next question.
All right, so... this one's from Spad. Both got Buck as a chicken. Want to do it? I'm going to interpret this question as, how did you enjoy the Team Fortress 2 Scream Fortress and Inferno update? So, I have played so much Team Fortress 2 in the past few weeks. Holy shit, I've played at least like 27 hours.
Hasn't the update only been out for a few days?
Yep.
Okay, well... the update was really, really good. It even got me into playing it with Tad, like, all night for, like, two nights.
Yep, we did it for... God. I didn't sleep all of last weekend. Because all I did was work for the previous week. And I finally hit that motherfucking weekend. And so I'm like, alright, fuck. I gotta play TF2. And I just didn't stop. All we did was play Banana Bay and some of the Halloween maps. Banana Bay is might be a contender for one of my favorite Team Fortress 2 maps of all time.
Because there's just so much to go around and do stuff. The only thing I don't like is that I wish they had a timer, because it can drag on pretty fucking hard. But the map design's really good. Like, it's so close to perfect.
I do appreciate that. I really, really like the gimmick. It's payload race. You have to push two payloads. At one point, the cart goes underwater. It goes around near an ocean bay in which you can swim from anywhere in the map. You can go out, swim around the bay, come up on that side, sneak on people. You push it up, 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 up. It goes around a spire. You got to hold it there while a train comes by to hit it. You can hop on that train if you're near spawn to zip across the other side of the map. And it's so fun. There's so much stuff you can do. So many options. I really love Banana Bay. And apparently it's also been a map that's existed for several years now. And it only just now got made official. I guess Banana Bay was made in like 2013. I don't know if it looked as good as it did before Valve made the jungle pack there. I don't. One thing Valve did that I don't think they ever did anything with was they made a contact pack for people, a contact pack. It was swamp themed, and then they never really added any swamp maps. I don't know what was going on with that. That was back in like 2010 though. So, but yeah, TF2 update's great. Halloween came out, and they knew that they weren't gonna have time, so what they did was they just kind of spliced it in there in a really fun way, where they added a new contract system where you play on an official game mode, you select a contract, they have ones for all different classes. For Halloween, it's like, oh, play on this map, or defeat this boss, or play on this community map, and then you do it, and you just get a treasure chest that you can open for, you know, a random Halloween item, and it's a lot of fun. I enjoy this update a lot. It's going to be going on until November 11th, I think. But yeah, TF2 is a great game. So, penultimate question here. This is from Jaden K. Would you rather go to DashCon, Fire Festival, or Rain Forest?
Ooh.
Now, Alex, do you know what Fire Festival is?
I know all three of those.
Oh, it's a Rain Forest 2015 specifically.
Well, yeah. Did it not have any other years?
I don't know. You tell me. The only one I know of is DashCon. That, honest to God, if I would have known it was happening, I would have gone.
Okay, this is a toughie, you know, because, like, they're all bad in different ways. Yeah, they're, like, they don't share the same problems. They each have one major problem that any con can have. It's, like, blown up. Like, Fire Festival was all about broken promises, not enough funding, and just bullshit. DashCon was just underpopulated. Just nothing there.
It's because Fire it was Festival- run by teenagers who didn't pay the hotel for the room. Instead, they sent the money through a PayPal donation on the hotel's website or something. It was the people who are making Hive Swap were the people who put together DashCon.
I guess DashCon and Fire Festival do have kind of similarities with the whole not funding, but they're funded differently in different ways. You know, like they made a mistake with DashCon. Fire Festival just kind of like,
what the fuck is Fire Festival? I still have no idea.
It was this thing. Okay, so this guy's like, I'm going to have the greatest idea. I'm going to make a big fucking event, a big festival. I'm going to bring all this musical talent. We're going to have luxury hotels.
Dude.
Yeah. He got Ja Rule, whatever his name was, the rapper, to help promote it. He got a bunch of famous people to promote it. Spent all his money promoting this amazing idea. But he spent all of his money doing that, and then the tickets weren't actually as expensive as people were hyping it up. So you go there to the Bahamas, to this island that wasn't the island he promised. Instead of the luxury hotels, they had a bunch of disaster relief like tents set up. There was no food. They got a bunch of pieces of bread and craft slices to feed the people. They had to give them something. Bunch of shit got stolen. People wasted money. It was so bad that people had to get the embassy, the government involved, to help get them out of there, because they pretty much were bamboozled. Like, what the hell was this, you know?
My god.
Yeah, like, it was really bad. Like he's like, yeah, guys, we're gonna have all this shit. Spend your money and follow me. And then you get there, it's just like, hell. So the government had to ship everyone out of there. Because, like, they're not going to just leave all these people out there. You're starving because there's no fucking food. Like, here's your craft slices. Like, people thought that it was a weird social experiment. Like, he had to make it this bad on purpose. So he got arrested for fraud for everything he did. And, yeah, everything got fucked.
Oh, man. And, what about Raid Forest, then? Was that the one? Was that the one with the gas attack?
No. Rainforest was a furry con, because it's a pun, get it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Rainforest. So there was nothing inherently wrong with the running or planning, unlike the other two.
Uh-oh.
Rainforest, that's the thing, that you didn't expect that, did you? Rainforest was set up, was hosted, and people attended it. Guess who attended it, Tad?
Who?
Furries. The worst kinds of people in the world. So, I think it was, I don't know what the fuck FurCon does, because there's a place that's just called, like, FurCon, right? There's, like, a generic one that, like, everyone goes to that's a fucking weird furry. And that one, I never really hear big problems with, other than the fact that, oh, God, look how cringy these people are. With Rainforest, there was one particular thing. There were diaper furs there wearing diapers and actually shitting themselves. And there was, allegedly, I guess a member of, like, the planning setting up, who actually went out of his way to sabotage everything by taking those filled diapers people were just throwing out in the garbage can, taking out of the garbage can and, like, placing them on people's cars and shit to sabotage the con. So people were like, oh, like, what the fuck is this shit? These fucking freaks at this goddamn hotel. Then there were also, again, I think this was the saboteur guy, someone got a bunch of towels and shoved them into the big filter at the pool, which caused thousands of dollars of damage. Because he was just a maniac. There was an assault. A guy in a fursuit just got in a fucking fist fight with somebody and got arrested for it. And a bunch of the crazy furries got together and started hotboxing a room, which is where they all get together and I think it's smoked just pot.
In a hotel, in like a public space.
Yeah. It was just bad. Just bad people. Bad people and sabotage just attended that place. But if I had to pick between any of the... And people can fact check me on this shit. I watched Internet Historian. You know he's correct. If I had to pick any of those three to go to, I would never pick Fyre Festival because I would be starving. That one's just cruel treatment, alright? So it's gotta be between DashCon or the Furry Festival, right? Like, with DashCon, there's nothing there. But I can say, hey, I went to DashCon, pick related of me, like, in the ball pit, doing, like, the fucking rock star horns.
But, like the Ganondorf guy who was just there. Like, I put way too much effort into this, and this was awful. I hate this.
I thought he took that picture somewhere else just to make fun of it. But, yeah, I would be basically that guy. No, I would be that guy who pissed in the ball pit, just to spite that place. If I had to fucking pick, I would probably go with Rainforest just because there was people and shit there, you know?
Yeah, there was, like, literally shit there.
Yeah. But, there, I could go ahead and be a normal person. I don't have to fucking wear a suit. I could just be a normal guy there. And I could just, like, go like, wow, this is fucking awful. It just starts taking pics all over the place. Like, with DashCon, I could say it was there, but it was really boring because there was nothing there, you know? The furry convention at least had people to gawk at. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was events there, there were people there, there was stuff happening. Awful shit, awful stuff, but stuff happening. So I'm gonna pick that one out of the three.
Yeah.
What about you? Because you didn't answer.
Let's see. I'm wondering, because, Fyre Festival seems like the worst one, followed by DashCon, followed by Rainforest. So I would have gone to DashCon. I genuinely would have gone to DashCon if I had known it was there, because because it went on for 3 days or so. After I heard the first day, I would have went there to laugh at all the shitty Homestuck cosplayers who personally ruined my Homestuck. That's why I would have gone to DashCon.
Oh, can I just say one more thing about Fyre Festival that's, like, really bad?
What?
So when night came, there was pretty much no lights. People had to use their cell phones to see. So people were stealing luggage left and right. There were not enough tents. Not enough of those stupid relief tents or beds. So people were just stealing each other's beds for just going to the tents and stealing them from each other. It was legitimately, like, again, a social experiment. It was like ANCAP personified.
It sounds like fighting. Fucking Lord of the Flies.
People were just stealing shit to survive. There, again, the food was bread and Kraft singles, Tad. they had this. At the very least, they had free tequila. Like, they were, which we think like, oh, that's not so bad. So you have a bunch of starving people drunk up their ass, and they can't see at night. So they just for this night turn into fucking savages. They form tribes. They make territories. Like, it's terrifying. No, I feel bad for the people who went there and were what was the word, goaded into it, into buying these shitty tickets and this shitty everything. I'm sorry for you. Like, if you went to Fur Festival or DashCon, go fuck yourself. But if you went to Fire Festival, like, you were pretty much tortured, so I'm sorry.
Alright, so, one last question here. This is from the Tool Man himself. What bigger plans do you have for the future of the podcast? Where do you want to go next? For me, it is not wasting a goddamn month of my time with a job that doesn't pay off, so everything gets pushed way back. And Homestuck Month, which was supposed to be 4 episodes, bam, 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 bam. That's the first place I would go. Not getting fucked out of that. Second place, I really do like doing Best Boys, but I'm going to take a pretty long break from it after this month, I think. Because the format in which we do it, the Halloween one that we did was actually really fun. We did Halloween, the movie. In that one, because the way that we were doing it before felt kind of lazy, and I didn't like that. Because it's definitely easier and faster to do. It takes less time to do because we don't have to do a lot of research. We don't have to do a lot of back and forth. Don't have to do much editing because me and him are standing next to each other, so we don't talk over each other and shit. But I'm going to probably slow those way, way down. And we're only going to do movies that Joe is really, really interested in and knows a lot about, so we can get his detailed history on. And then my first experience as someone who's never seen, who just saw an Alien movie last week. Like, you know, someone who knows jack diddly shit. And I think that's fun. And I want to play up that aspect more. SwoleQuest will definitely be coming up again soon. I'm going to start doing that again now that I stopped wasting my fucking time with this other job. Because the whole time that SwoleQuest was on delay, it was because I didn't have access to the gym because it was way, it's 16 miles one way. That's 32 miles to drive just to go to the gym at 3 times a week, which isn't feasible. But that'll be happening again. I still have to finish Steins Gate. I don't think I ever did. And then after the Homestuck episodes, I have a list somewhere of all the ones that I wanted to do. I know the Homestuck episodes are the biggest one that I wanted to do, though. Because that's the fucking meme of the goddamn name. Hey, maybe the fact that they're coming out, quote-unquote, monthly, or Homestuck as a single month. There we go. It's pretty Homestuck-esque.
You well, know, no, you just kind of spread it out. Freudian slip. We're doing the Homestuck episodes monthly now. So you have to wait for the next one until next month.
I mean, shit, maybe. If I do it that way, I can end it on 4/13. Who knows? I'm a madman. Right, okay, damn it. Right. So, you take that Jared Leno as the Joker, Homestuck, written on my forehead.
So, okay. I have dreams for the podcast. Now, just hear this. Me and you, Tad.
I don't like this already.
Me and you, live like the dollop. With a bunch of annoying people screaming into the microphone, making the audio really, really awful to listen to when you're playing Warframe.
Me and hey, you. Guys. Trump. 15 uninterrupted minutes of, woo, yeah. When he said Trump, I stood up and clapped.
No, it's just like, and my associate, Gary Reynolds. Yeah, woo, yeah. Then a slight pause. It's Gareth. Woo! Yeah! I love the dollop, but I don't like their live recordings. But me and you, live at, let's say, DashCon, Rainforest 2018, me and you, live.
Bringing it back, baby.
Bringing it back. I want to be on a stand with a microphone and spout my opinions to a bunch of autistic people, who the only types of people who will care about me. That is my dream. Is to be like, forget about you. You're just there to get me there, Tad. You sit down. I'm gonna get up, take this microphone, like walk, like pace back and forth, pointing at him, yelling at him, screaming at him about how much I hate Jeff Kaplan and I hate Overwatch. And they're gonna be like, no, I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna be like, hey, hey, Tad. Yes, Alex. Let me tell you about why I hate Overwatch. Woo, yeah!
When he said he hated Overwatch, I stood up and clapped.
Yeah, but that's my dream. A live performance if we ever get popular enough one day.
Hey, anything's possible in the future, except for Overwatch becoming a good game and Hiveswap to have an Act 2 release date. Alright, so I want to give a quick shout out to all of our super cool Patreon dudes. You guys are the reason that the show is still happening. Because if I didn't have a pretty sizable amount of people in the Discord and the YouTube comments and shit like that, I probably would have slowed way down, way back, and I probably would have still done the podcast, but I wouldn't have put forth so much effort to try and get so much done as I can. But I also want to give a shout out to the big boys out there: Lavender Sheepy, Jaron Kiwi, Jonah C, Sean Dunsmore, Phil the Muffin,
Lors IX, please be right, Craven Nostravi, Big Platypus, which is a good name, by the way, No Two Hands, and Alba.
Yeah, I've heard about this Alba guy on some really famous podcast about... do you remember what their last episode was? It was relatively recent. It's on the tip of my tongue. It was on that TNA with TNA and A podcast. What was their last episode, Alex?
I thought we agreed to stop doing that joke. It's not funny.
I think it's funny. But that was a pretty weird fetish episode about people not finding a joke that I repeat really funny. Anyway, so...
Just you continue.
You can find the show on Twitter at LetMeTellYouPD. You can send us emails to the email, which is letmetellyouabout@gmail.com. I had to put 3 T's because otherwise it wouldn't fucking fit. And apparently, from what I understand, now it would fit. So maybe I just messed up on that. And then, like I mentioned earlier, there's a Discord, which will be in the description of every episode. And I go ahead and give them a little Halloween outro. That's the bats flying away. Flying into the afternoon, into the dawn sun, as we finish out this Halloween.